Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Arb Life Podcast. Tonight, I'm joined by world-famous arborist Drew Bristow. Drew takes us on a wild canopy tour around the world, from his early beginnings in the UK, to the baobabs of Africa, to the sunny, swaying coconuts of Fiji. This is the Arb Life, for arborists to be inspired.
Yes, I am recording.
Super. Okay, just so you know, I'm near the airport at the moment, so if a plane goes overhead, there's not much I can do about it.
Drew, don't worry about it, man, that's totally fine.
It annoys me. It annoys me. I don't like living near the airport.
No, that's, for someone who bounces around the world as much as you, it's pretty economical to live near an airport, I guess.
It is handy. I think I'm maximum peak hour traffic. I'm 10 minutes away from the international airport.
Perfect.
That's not saying much where I live, though, but it is handy. Peak hour traffic is no different to no traffic, let's be honest.
No, that's cool. I'm actually, pretty ironic, but I'm reading a book by Jonathan Drury and, entitled Around the World in 80 Trees. And it's, pretty suiting that you had found the time to call me because, I guess I can start by asking, where did you grow up and where did you get your start? With arboriculture, how did you get into the business?
Okay, so I'm from a very small picturesque village in the UK called Tenbury Wells on the Welsh border. Absolutely beautiful. And I was just working in a tree nursery just in the summer, working on the tree nursery, learning about how to prune, and I was a rock climber at the same time. And I was fortunate, I saw somebody doing some tree work. And I went up and signed pretty much for my degree. I jumped straight into a diploma in tree care. And so I went onto that course. I'd never used a chainsaw before, never done tree climbing, but I just saw it. The light bulb went on. I went, that's what I'm going to do for the rest of my life, I think. And that's where the whole story started.
And so, okay, so from the UK, you get your degree. Then at a certain time, where do you end up? Australia or New Zealand or somewhere like this?
Okay, so where I ended up was the diploma that I was doing at Myersco College in the UK. It was 3 years, but the second year was work placement. You could actually say I've got experience. I haven't just got a piece of paper. So I chose to go to New Zealand. They had different companies all around the world that they were friends with. So I jumped on a plane, went to New Zealand, done a year in New Zealand, just learned so much. You know, got to hang out with some great climbers, got into the New Zealand arb scene, came back to England, finished my course, was contract climbing. There were a few local companies. And then the biggest hedge of my life was given to me as a job. And I think about the same time, Trevor Gardner was one of the managers of Asplund in New Zealand. He emailed me saying, do I want to come back? And I was on a plane 2 weeks later and went there for 1 year and stayed there for 15.
So you were with Asplund for 15 years?
No, I was with Asplund. I think Asplund was 6 or 7 years now.
Okay.
Could even be 8 years, to be honest.
Right.
But Asplund in New Zealand at the time didn't do much line clearance. Right. They had all the parks and street contracts. And that's where, for a short time, a parks crew, it was myself, Scott Forrest, Matt Glenn, you know, world champions, European champions.
Right.
And these were the parks crews. We were deadwooding oak trees 5 days a week. And when you want to learn to climb, that's not a bad work environment to be in.
You sort of mentioned the New Zealand arb scene and you know, that's pretty cool, because when I think I first got into it and sort of became aware of what was happening around the world, that social media wasn't like full on yet, but it was definitely an age of YouTube, and a lot of people were YouTubing and putting videos out and everything like that. And so, you know, and that was also, I felt a lot of those guys were big time competitive climbers. So, were you into the competition scene at that point? Were you pursuing that, or was it more or less just about being involved with the culture, working with those guys? Talk about that a little bit.
No, the competition scene in New Zealand was an amazing experience. I think in some countries there's an attitude to that some climbers will go, "Oh, that's just a competition climber. They're no good at work." New Zealand has never really had that, and all of the top competition climbers, their day-to-day arborists, they're knocking out kick-ass work, really high-standard work, and that's how I got to know them. I was into the comps. New Zealand, for such a small country, has regional competitions to get to the nationals. So you're climbing. It's a humbling learning experience there. And again, you make friends for life in the comp scenes, working with these guys, climbing and training on the weekends, and then going to the competitions. It's all part and parcel of the New Zealand arb scene. All the top comp climbers are all the top workers. Hell of a place to be a green young climber exposed to that.
Yeah, that's really awesome. Such a cool a cool scene to think about, and like you said, really epic work and epic climbing. And that was definitely, I've always been sort of mesmerized by all that great stuff that you see coming out of that culture. Okay, so now currently you were in Fiji. I think just a little bit ago you were where? In Hawaii, climbing all sorts of coconut trees. You seem to be using the tree stand ladders as a way to get up those single stem palms or coconuts. I don't know what they were. Can you talk about that last trip a little bit? I was pretty intrigued by some of those really, really awesome photos that were getting put up over there.
Totally. Well, I think going back a stage before that, one of the great things about tree work and arb work is we've always been in this little gray area of height safety and working at height. And our techniques are progressing all the time, really quickly, from the Blake's Hitch to like O-rigs and M-rigs. And then Kevin Bingham came out of the rope wrench, and that, you know, and it was constant learning, using new systems, new techniques. And then I ended up moving to Fiji, and we get a lot of coconut work here. So out of my element, learn how to do coconuts, adapt that, you know, start traversing through coconuts. And then a couple of weeks ago, I was thinking about going to Hawaii to see the volcanoes, and I've got some good friends over there. So I went over, and there's some companies on Maui that they don't spike coconuts anymore for aesthetics, mainly just for aesthetics. It looks better. So I just reached out to those guys and said, "Hey, can I come and learn?" So use the I can't remember the brand, but they're deer hunting standers.
Okay.
You have it for your elbows. It's strapped on. You have one strapped to your feet. You lift your elbows up, lean down, pull your feet up, stand up, move your elbows up, and it's efficient. It's quick, but it's an ab workout. I thought I was going to have to go to hospital the next day. It was a killer. But an amazing experience to not be throwlining, like the frustration of throwlining into coconuts, not having that, not spiking a coconut that's never been spiked before. You know, because I think if a coconut has been spiked 1,000 times, I have not too much issue with re-spiking it. But if it's a virgin coconut that no one's ever spiked, it's nice to have an option where you don't have to spike it anymore. Mm-hmm. So to go over and to have these companies be open and say, "Yeah, come and work for us, come and learn." Again, what an experience. You know, that's art. It's constant learning the whole time.
You know, it's really awesome. Just the community that exists, whatever. I mean, people have their local circles, and then you talk about the industry as a whole. And, you know I touched on it earlier, but I feel like social media and what it does for people and how they learn and how they stay connected, it constantly blows me away how amazing of a community it is. And just to be able to sort of live vicariously through other people, to sort of find inspiration through what other people are doing and sort of how they're applying arboriculture in their life and the way that they live is just a really amazing thing. So, okay. So really quick, before we sort of wrap it up, cause I don't want to keep you all night. I would like to,
it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
I know you're swinging in a hammock right now, dude. That is epic right there. Okay, so go back to the UK. I want you to talk about your favorite tree in the UK, your favorite tree in New Zealand, any other really awesome experience that you had with another tree anywhere else in the world, and then I want you to talk about your favorite tree where you're living and working now. So we'll do 5 trees around the world with Drew Bristow.
Okay, 5 trees, favorite trees. I have to do this quick fire or else I'll think about it too much. Favorite tree in England has got to be the English oak, Quercus robur.
Nice.
It's part of English heritage. It's I don't know, you look past into history, it made England what, you know, the great country that it was. Gorgeous looking tree, just beautiful. New Zealand, it's got to be the kauri tree. Agaphus australis, again, it's one of the icons of New Zealand, up to 3,000 years old. Giants of the rainforest or of the bush, just epic trees. I've been very fortunate to do seed collection in quite a few of them, and it really is one of those wow trees. You get up there, you climb barefoot so you don't stand on the lichens and the little flowers, and you're into a whole new world. It's similar to scuba diving, but you're going up into the new world of the canopy of a tree. In Africa, the baobabs, Agaphus digitalis. I hope these Latin names are right.
don't worry,
we
won't be mad if they're not.
I think they're right. The baobabs. Amazing tree for climbing around because there's not much going on there, but they've got to be the oddest tree that I've ever seen in the world. You know, they say in mythology, one of the gods was angry, so he picked up this good looking tree and put it upside down, and it's called the upside down tree. So I'd read about them for years and then had the opportunity to go and climb and measure them over there, explore trees. Amazing. How many is that? Is that 3 or 4?
That was 3. You could do 4. Do your favorite current tree. I know you talked about the what were they, coconuts, and your traverse.
Okay. So I will jump back to 5 actually. Number 4 has got to be monkey pods in Hawaii. The monkey pods, yes. Amazing tree, beautiful canopy. They've just got this perfect umbrella form to them. You get up there, they're big and they're just amazing trees. And I cannot remember the Latin name for them. And then jumping to where I am now, Fiji. People think of Fiji, they think of coconuts on the beach. I get to do a lot of coconuts here, lots of filming in coconuts, film sets. And they're a whole different style of climbing. We've got some of our coconuts that are over 100, 120 foot tall, maybe the size of a can of Coca-Cola at the top. They can move, you probably get on windy days, 5, perhaps 7 meters. What's that, 15, 20 foot of sway at the top. So it's a whole game, it's a whole mind game. You can get a little bit of seasickness up in them, especially when you come down to the ground. But they very, very rarely snap, especially the healthy ones. So that's what you constantly think about. So to be up this really tall, skinny piece of grass, and to let your ARB mind take over that it's okay, and then getting a traverse circ and traversing, you know, 100 foot off the ground, it's a whole different experience. You know, is it tree work? It's not really tree work. Is it great fun climbing using tree climbing techniques? 100%.
That was awesome. That was awesome. That's a great place to be. You are, Drew, you are an inspiration for sure, and a fine arborist. And if anyone wants to check you out on Instagram, what are you on there as? DB Tree on Instagram?
DB Tree on Instagram.
DB Tree on Instagram. I feel like that's a really cool place to follow along on your adventures.
I've got some on YouTube, but I don't use YouTube very often, so I can't remember what's on there. And I suppose just Facebook, to be honest.
Yeah, no, that's that's awesome, and I'm really grateful that you reached out and you got down with this conversation, because like I said, the podcast is just a place for arborists to come and to be inspired, and I think a lot of people are out there looking for that inspiration, and these conversations help, I think, people maybe get inspired about a direction or a career path, just to let other arborists out there that are either aspiring or experienced know that there's really, really cool options available, and a lot of things to stay inspired about. Mm-hmm.
I think I'm not sure if you can hear me, so I think I've lost you.
I got
me,
you.
One of the most amazing things about tree work is you don't have to be someone cutting trees down the whole time. Right. You know, there's so many different avenues. You know, I think our job should be protecting and preserving trees. Of course, we have to chop them down every so often, but it's a bit cliche to say we're stewards of the canopy, but I suppose it is pretty correct. And I think that's an aim that most arborists should have, is to try and look after trees and maybe a bit of public education. If we can keep one more tree up that was going to be chopped down, I think we've all done a good job as an arborist.
Absolutely. Well said, Drew. Well said. Thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it. And your knowledge and your love for what you do is definitely infectious, and I know a lot of people feel the same way, and we're really lucky to have you on here and have a conversation about living and working in the arb life.
Nah, all good, buddy. You look forward to the next podcast that you'll be sharing with someone who's actually important and knows what they're talking about. Not me, the bumbling idiot.
Wait for the edit. I'll get it up, and we can share it around.
Excellent, buddy. You take care. Hey, you have a good evening.
Hey, you too, Drew. Thanks so much.
Cheers, man. Bye bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another edition of the Arb Life Podcast. If you enjoyed tonight's conversation, please follow us at www.thearblife.com. Follow along with our blog and sign up for an email subscription. This edition of the Arb Life Podcast was inspired by Jonathan Drury's book, Around the World in 80 Trees.